Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bob Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Now I can see, I actually can see the Irish soldiers in the Mexican-American War river dancing.
That was a great choice for
tonight. Hi, welcome to LA Talk Radio. This is, of course, the Writer's Block, because it is Thursday and it is 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm your host, Bobby Jean Bell, who is recovering from a horrific automobile accident that took place last Saturday. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. Do you like that picture of Bryce Canyon behind me?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Isn't that gorgeous?
Courtesy of my brother, a great photographer. Happy to be.
Great picture.
Yeah, happy to be with you tonight, Jim. That was great music to choose for our opening.
Well, you know, I figured I've been trying to stay with the same music, but tonight I couldn't resist. Yeah. I had it already in my music, and I figured, you know what? We're talking about Irish tonight, so give them a jig. What the hell? So we have with us tonight, of course, it is the first Thursday of the month. And as beat the first Thursday of the month, we have with us our friend, cohort, and great writer in his own right, Mr. Henry Park. Hi, Henry.
Hi, thank you so much, and greetings to both of you. And Bobby, I'm so glad that you're up to doing the show, and give my best to your husband, Jim.
I will.
Please do. Well, now, as you both know, movie and television production, not just Westerns, but all genres, has been really slow to non-existence since COVID. The very good news is that, cautiously, production is coming back. And last week, I was on the set of my first COVID-conscious Western. Not that the story was about that. That wouldn't be very historical. But everyone is tested twice a week, masks are everywhere, and it really hasn't hampered things much, except the food. You know how often the best thing about a film set is how well they feed you?
It's the food, right? Right.
Now it's all packaged and sanitary and craft services where you could always grab a cup of coffee and candy and stuff. It's a shadow of it. What was this thing?
Okay.
The film is called... It's called Siege at Rikers Station. It's mostly set at a stagecoach stop. Mm-hmm. It's directed by Mike Pfeiffer. It's shot at Peter Sciarico's huge Caravan West Ranch. And we were up in the hills with more than a dozen horses and riders, lots of riding and shooting and mortars going off, and Bruce Dern. Yes, I was there for his last day of filming, last scene, actually. A scene where, to put it mildly, he loses patience with his son, and by God, did he blow his stack. Just, you know what Bruce Dern is like in the movies when he gets mad. It was just a wonderful thing to see and hear, and stuff was flying in the air. It was great. And Pfeiffer and the crew had just arrived from Wyoming, where they'd made another Western called Catch the Bullet. Actor Cody Jones is at Nectar's for all of these. Pfeiffer already brought out a Western earlier this year, A Soldier's Revenge, and just finished post-production on a fourth Western, a family Western called Shooting Star. I saw the opening, and it looked just great, and they're putting it out in black and white. And another film that's coming out this December, back in 1982, a very talented, quirky filmmaker named Harry Hurwitz made a wonderful but rarely seen black comedy called The Comeback Trail. You ever see that?
No.
No. Well, it stars Chuck McCann as a failed movie producer who tries to get rich by hiring a broken-down former Western star, played by Buster Crabbe, to star in a movie, insure him for a fortune, and kill him. And it's real. It was, as I say, very funny, very hard to see. It's just been remade, and I usually don't get excited about remakes, but it looks hysterical, and it stars as the producers Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, Zach Braff, and as the broken-down cowboy star, Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, my gosh. What
a
cast.
Oh, my gosh.
It just looks, you know, when Tommy Lee lets himself be funny by not acting funny, but just playing it straight, he's just wonderful, and it just looks great. I'm putting up a link to the trailer.
Okay.
Now, to more serious news, a lot of famous people have passed away recently, including, of course, the great Sean Connery. And sometimes people are not so much in the public eye. Behind the camera, people pass away unnoticed. And writer William Blinn just died. He created Starsky and Hutch. He wrote the screenplay to Roots. He wrote Brian's Song. And he also wrote a number of Westerns. Most notably with Western, he was the head writer on the Carradine and Jill Ireland, which, by the way, is available from Shout Factory. He gave me a great interview like 5 years ago about his Western career. I'm either going to repost it or put up links to it. And please check out the November True West with my interview with Earl Holliman, who starred in Sons of Katie Eller, Gunfight at the OK Corral. Well, does anyone have a favorite Earl Holliman Western?
Oh, well,
and there was dead silence.
I know.
I think probably the Sons of Katie Elder.
That's very good. Did you ever see him in Last Train to Gun Hill with Kirk Douglas and Anthony Quinn?
Yes.
I love that picture. Anyway, you can read about all this and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Thanks, Henry. Before you go...
Yes, sir.
I recently watched two very, very, very good older Westerns. The first one is Bite the Bullet. Bite the Bullet.
Right.
Actually, there's three. And the second was Tom Horn.
Yeah.
And good and stuff. The third is, I cannot remember what it was. What a shame. But I know Bite the Bullet was a wonderful movie.
It's funny. What I always think of with Bite the Bullet is Jan Michael Vincent riding his horse into a saloon, jumping off and saying, whiskey for me and beer for my horse.
Beer for my horse, yeah. I remember him riding the horse down the sand dune and the horse dying of a broken heart.
I haven't seen it since it came out. So, but yeah, terrific.
What a great movie. At any rate, thank you so much, Henry. We'll be reading the Western Roundup and, we'll talk to you next month.
I'm looking forward to it. You guys take care.
You do as well.
Thanks. Well, bye-bye.
Bobby.
Bye.
Bobby, yes. We have a return guest tonight.
Yes.
Hello.
Is anybody there still?
Okay. Yeah. Return guest and everything stopped.
Oh. Anyway, did we lose Wayne?
No, can you hear me now?
Okay. Well, you know, we have a return guest tonight who was on our first year. And so it's been almost 5 years. Actually, it's probably more than 5 years since Wayne's been on. And we talked about three of his books back then. And tonight he is back on with a book that has taken him 5 years to write. And it's called The Loyal Son. It's about the Mexican-American War and the Irish Battalion that fought with the Mexicans against the American Army. And would you please welcome back to the Writer's Block, Mr. Wayne Deal.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
you're very welcome. Yeah, it strikes me as that, you know, the more history I read and read your book and the more history I read about the Mexican-American War, I realize I didn't know much about it.
True.
Well, you know, nobody does. And I realized that when I started to research it and would go to like a Barnes & Noble or whatever and aisles on the Civil War and every other war, but virtually nothing on the Mexican-American War. So
right.
I don't know if that's a wise thing to write about or not, but it interested me.
Well, the story itself is phenomenal. I mean, it's the story, of course, of the Battalion La San Patricios, or the Irish Battalion, led by an ex-major in the American Army, Mr. John Riley, who along with I believe it was 175 deserters started out. Clean my act up here a little bit, Wayne.
Well, no, little by little they deserted, and then more and more as it was actually abuse against the Irish immigrants,
right.
And they'd had enough. And one night, I think 40 guys swam across the Rio Grande to get away,
right?
And joined the other side. And I will correct you on one thing. Major John Riley was in the British Army before he was in the American Army.
Right.
He was a private in the American Army.
Right.
And which was one of the reasons he deserted, because he was a born leader and there was no way he was getting done at that
time.
Oh,
no. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
But I know there were not only Irish, though. There was Germans and Italians and all kinds of right, different countries that went across the border, but they were all of Catholic descent, which I find amazing because this country supposedly being of religious freedom, we treated the Catholics as badly as we did in the early 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was shocking, really. And there were some escaped African slaves that were in the army, in the battalion as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the religious persecution was, just blatant, and it surprised me. But it was all real. I tried to get the history correct, and Patrick Ryan was a fictional character, but all the history, even Jane Storm, who was the female, the writer,
right,
of the story, who I tried to use as the vehicle to tell the history behind everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that woman deserves a book in her own right, really. She was pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, you started the book out, which I thought was phenomenal. You started the book out after their capture. And right. There has been already some executed. There was some more to be executed. They were all kind of expecting it, but in all actuality, I believe there was only out of the 75 that were actually caught, I think there was only 50 that actually were executed by firing squad and by hanging. The rest, I think, were whipped and then had to wear metal collars around their neck for the remainder of the Mexican War.
That's right. I think it was 50 or 55. I should know that, but it was
right.
Something like that. It was the biggest mass hanging, other than there was a Native American hanging in as well. But I think in the history of the military, and when I discovered the story about the San Patricio Battalion, I knew I wanted to write about it, but I had a very hard time with my hero being a traitor, and it just was kind of a journey for me as well to look into really what happened and why.
Uh-huh.
I think those men were justified in leaving. I don't know about fighting for the other side, but they did, and they fought valiantly, and if not victoriously, because they didn't win one battle.
Well, I don't think their idea initially from leaving was the fact that they were going to go join the Mexican Army. I think they just wanted to get away from the U.S.
That was a big part of a lot of them, except for John Riley. He did.
He had a dream of going, and then of course, as soon as the guys he took with him, they made him a major in the Mexican Army,
yeah.
And with his battalion, of course, the San Patricios, and. And which, of course, is that grew exponentially as they had more and more people came across the river. And then they also deserted while they were in Mexico. So, there were droves that I don't think they've ever got a real count of how many actually came across or went in to join the San Patricios or units like it, because they weren't the only ones.
Well, yeah, and I don't know about that, but there was, yeah, I think at one time there were up over 200 deserters in that battalion. Mm-hmm. And you're right, even when Winfield Scott was marching on Mexico City, more Irish deserters deserted then when they were about to, the Americans
right.
were about to win.
Right.
And they still left. So,
right.
And it was vicious. I mean, the abuse was vicious. There's no doubt about it. And documented. So
yeah.
one more thing about the poor Irish back in the 1800s.
Right. Bobby, take it.
Well, Wayne, I was just going to say that because you do start the story actually in Ireland, and you write about, you know, our characters, the challenges that were going on in Ireland, which causes Trick and his sister to that America, that land of freedom, and then the challenges that they have when they first even land, get off the ship.
Right.
I guess for me, it's so rich your detail in writing without it being sort of information overload. I was almost embarrassed to be an American as I read the way immigrants were treated, the way when Patrick goes ahead and he enlists in the army, and then we go through his days and with his relative Jimmy, and we go through you know what life was like, and I have read a lot about life in the military, but I felt like, you know what, this is truth, and it's painful. It's embarrassing that we as a nation treated people this way. That was just the one thing that it was almost hard turning pages sometimes, because you really give us, I'm sure, a tremendous amount of research. When did you start researching the book, Wayne?
Probably the day after my last interview with you guys.
Well, to be fair, you were going camping and had a brand new lemon meringue pie in the back of your truck.
I did. Okay. All right. It might have been a couple of weeks after that. But it took me a long time, and a big part of writing, as I'm sure you know, is sitting down and getting the story out. And the nice thing about research, at least for me, is I could tell myself I'm actually writing when I'm researching.
Right.
So you can kind of go down a hole there and get too involved. And it turned out to be a labor of love. And like we've said, I never knew any of this stuff. I mean, I know California came as a result of the Mexican-American War, but
basically
that's all I knew. And the fact that we're still fighting over borders and all that other stuff, we're still, you know, reeling from all that. But I've always liked individual stories about people who are not in history books. That's always kind of fascinated me, what the events of history do to average people.
Well, you know, history is written by the winners.
Exactly. And there's another quote that I've always liked. It's it takes 100 years for history to start telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good, and eventually, you know, you go to the Little Bighorn battlefield, and the first time I went there, there was no Indian monuments anywhere. And I went a couple of years ago, and they're starting to honor the Native Americans.
Absolutely.
That perished there. And so that's my optimism about, you know, what's happened. Every single group that has come here or forced to come here has had adversity. And as we know, we're still dealing with it in an embarrassing way today, in my opinion. But I think, I hope, we're going to come out of it okay.
I think we will. I'm going to call it right there. We're going to have a real brief break. Ray, Owen, don't go away. And don't forget what you're talking about. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina. Right now, we're going to hear a little word from LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And you know, these days of coronavirus and COVID-19, as you're sitting home at your desk doing your job, how about instead of watching reruns of Lassie and the Lone Ranger, you tune in to www.latalkradio.com and listen to what our hosts have to say during the day. We've got everything from sports to music to self-help to, well, we even have talk. So why not give us a try during the day, latalkradio.com. And remember, every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on LA Talk Radio, is The Writer's Block. Have a great day.
And we are back. It is now 6:20, and we are on the phone with Wayne Deal, the writer of The Loyal Son, about the Irish Battalion in the Mexican-American War in 1846. And he has written quite a large novel on this the subject. Now, I need to ask, I know John Ryan is real. How many other characters in this book are nonfiction?
All of the higher-up military commanders, of course, the politicians. I put something in there about the Polk, James Polk election. All of those are real people, and I tried to make... have it be real. Even the Jane Storm character, she was a peace envoy sent by Secretary of State Buchanan and was behind the lines during the war. So those were all real characters, but the, you know, Patrick Ryan and all the people in the battalion and his love interest, that was all fictional, just developed into the story.
Sure.
And I should say, real cousins in Philadelphia. That's where I was born, and my Irish cousins were the Torpy family. So every single one of them, including the Aunt Mary and Uncle John, were just fictionalized excerpts of my relatives.
There you go.
So that's where they came from.
And leave us not forget the Midnight Ride of Missy Montaigne, who also was a relative of yours.
God bless you, Jim. You're all right.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a quick question. Your descriptions of locations, especially the ones in Mexico, you describe... I'm sorry I didn't write the names of the towns down, but you describe these, you know, the lush countryside and really idyllic towns, you know, that are just beautiful. Have you actually done some travel in Mexico what did you do to prepare yourself to describe those places?
Most of that was research from... like diaries from the time period, soldier diaries. My son-in-law, his mother and father both emigrated from Mexico, and we tried a few times to get into Mexico City. He had traveled there for business, and I really wanted to go, but we just couldn't make it happen. So that is all fictional. So I don't know if I was on shaky ground or not, but I did do a lot of research to other first-person accounts during that time period.
Okay, and we first meet your big fictional character Patrick Ryan in the prologue, and your reporter is delivering a letter from Patrick's wife,
right?
And he is like just black from gunpowder and smoke and cannon fire and fighting he's going to be executed, and he's getting a letter from his wife, and it was a great scene. I felt so very bad for him, because his wife was not going to be able to see him before he died.
Right, right. I wasn't quite sure how to handle that, but I stuck with that. I rewrote it. I don't know how many times, but in fact, in an effort. You mentioned that it was a long novel. It is a long novel. It was a lot longer, let me tell you that. And in the process of trying to cut, I actually cut Jane Storm out for a while. And then just couldn't do it. So I said, the heck with it. I'm self-publishing. It's too long. I don't care. It's everything I want to say. So
there you go.
It's out there.
But you said you took out something like 30,000 words.
I did. Yes, I did. Yeah.
I mean, that's a novel in itself.
It should be. Yes. It should be. I did something I've never done before. I got hired an editor to do a critique. I didn't know much about editing. There's all different, you know, there's line by line, there's whatever. And it was more of a critique. And it was invaluable. I mean, she's a writer of herself. She really helped cut a lot. And I didn't cut as much as she said, but I got pretty close.
Well, you don't always cut what your editor tells you to cut. I mean, sometimes you just fight and you say, you know what? No. That's not happening.
And, you know, I still think of things that I say, darn, I wish I should have kept that in. You know, that was good. But anyway, it's all part of the writing process, I guess.
Of course it is. And you know, I like that you start. Well, I'm a firm believer in starting a book with a prologue because it sets up your story.
Because I wasn't sure about that, but yeah, I'm happy to hear that. I like the way it turned out.
Yeah, it does. It sets up your story, and it's like Russ Avison, who's actually a host next week. So Bob, you get a week off. But he wants to write a book about his dog Whisper that died, and I said start it off with Whisper laying in your lap and she's about ready to die, and then go back and your mind goes back to when you first got her as a puppy. Aww. And then start chapter one from there and go forward.
Yeah.
And he goes, what a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I do like that.
I have a question about the title, because as I was reading the book, I like to think about the title, and you know, there's lots of different definitions in this book, I think, for loyal son. You want to just talk a little bit about how you came up with that?
Yes, please do.
Well, the original, you know, the other three books that I wrote, they all started with a title. I mean, very first thing, title. And this one, I had a title. It was called Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, and Poncho. Like two not quite acceptable names for an Irishman and a Mexican. Mm-hmm. And I had this idea that it was going to be, I'm not really a buddy story, but I wasn't quite sure. And then it just turned into Patrick Ryan and the San Patricios. And I just liked the idea. I think I said it earlier, I was nervous about writing a book about a traitor. And I thought, well, he's very loyal. He's loyal to John Riley. He's loyal to his comrades. He's loyal to his wife. He's loyal to his family. And it just, I guess for lack of a better title, I just kept sticking with it. I was told not to use that title because it's kind of, it's been used. Mm-hmm. And but eventually I said, you know what? I like the fact that it's got more meaning to it. And yeah, he did desert. Yeah, he was a traitor. He probably, but he's a loyal man. He's a good man.
Well,
gets the bottom line.
See, I took it to mean that he was a loyal Irishman, and he followed the Irish, and whereas he may not have really been convinced that that was the way to go, which I kind of got the feeling. He still loyally followed his friends into something that I think he knew ultimately they were not going to be able to win.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the other thing is the reason he deserted ultimately was he fell in love.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that was the impetus. And why wouldn't it be? Oh, I know. What made him do it. And he, I guess you could say he was loyal to her as well. So,
I mean, falling in love is everybody's impetus to do pretty much everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you're that age, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're gonna take another real quick break, Bobby. And of course, this break is for Out West Classic. Yeah. Out West. And right now, you're listening to the Writer's Block. This is LA Talk Radio, and we're going to hear a little bit about Out West.
Readers Wanted want tonight's featured title, Loyal Son, by Wayne Deal, or any books by the Writer's Block featured authors? Easy. Just go to www.outwestshop.com. Choose books and CDs from the toolbar, and from the drop-down menu, shop. The Writer's Block book list features titles of our guests. Click a book cover for the link to our interview and to purchase. Explore all our book categories. We add new titles daily. We just added seasonal books with all kinds of titles having to do with some of the celebrations that'll be coming up towards the end of the year. One-stop shopping supports Out West and independent booksellers when you purchase books through our bookshop.org affiliate website. Remember, it's always a great day out West.
That is correct. And we are back in the studio. It is now 6:30. We are talking with writer Wayne Deal about his novel, Loyal Son, about the Mexican-American War and the St. Paddy's Battalion that fought, the Irish Battalion that fought with them, Irish and German, Greek, Italian, Catholic. I guess it should have been called the Catholic Battalion, but hey, what are you going to do?
Well, most of them were Irish. I mean, but there were others. And the Germans, too. The Germans, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But who cares about the Germans, you know?
Well, I'm married to one. I have to care about them, so.
Well, and I'm half, so.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I think one of the things I appreciated as a reader was because Patrick, we follow Patrick, we get an insight into what it was like to be in the Mexican military. And typically, you know, when we read about conflict with Mexico, as Jim was saying before, we sort of read about it more from the American viewpoint. And I found it very interesting as you write about what life was like in that military. It's not really a question. It's just a comment here.
Here, let me get this in before you start, Wayne. If you want to call and talk to Mr. Deal tonight, the number here in the studio is 323-203-0815. And again, that number is 323-203-0815. And Wayne, is your granddaughter in Hawaii tonight so we can get a call from her?
No, she's not. And she is now 12 years old and she might could possibly crank call me. So
she's like seven. Oh, that's right. She's like 17 now, huh?
No. Well, 12 going on 17, I think.
Well, there you go.
And by the way, I will say she's a budding writer. She's written her own first novel.
Okay, so, well, you know what? We do have a caller, so why don't we bring her in? Okay, Wayne, bring him in. Hi, hello. This is the Writer's Block. Who are we speaking to?
Hi.
Is this who I think it is?
This is Brooke.
Brookie, how you doing, Brookie? That's one of my other granddaughters.
One of your granddaughters, sure. I'm going to learn not give out phone numbers when you're on the air, but that's okay.
And she's not in Hawaii. She's in Simi Valley in her new home. So.
Hoorah! Simi Valley. Love Simi Valley.
Yeah.
Did you want to ask your grandpa a question?
No, I just called to say hi.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
All right. I'll see you this weekend.
You know, there's a whole bunch of people listening to you right now.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. Bye. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
All right.
Again, that number is 323-203 or 205-203-0815. Okay, so let's get off the oil sun for a minute there, Wayne, and let's talk about your process. Now, I noticed one thing about this book that I noticed. Do we have another one from your family? Of course, we'll take it, Rona, and bring them on in. Hello, this is the Writer's Block. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, Grandpa. Hi.
Okay.
This is Layla Felina. Hi, Grandpa.
Hi,
Grandpa.
Hi, sweetie. How you doing? Okay.
Good.
I have a question.
How are you?
I have a question for your callers. So does Grandpa tell really good bedtime stories?
Yeah.
No.
Really, okay. Really good ones.
Okay. He does. He tells really, really good ones.
Layla's got my back.
I think we just lost them.
Yeah, I think they're gone.
Hello,
well,
sorry.
Anyway, Hello?
Hello.
Oh, anyway. Oh.
Okay.
All now right, who do we have? Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, we're all here. Okay. One thing I noticed is that your formatting in your book is entirely different than the formatting in the first three. And obviously... you had some help with this. Who was it that helped you, and how did you find them?
I did it myself.
Did you?
Yeah, and it was extremely, you know, what is the quote about a lawyer? A guy who's his own lawyer has a fool for a client.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that's good for writers who are their own editors.
Uh-huh.
Probably have a fool for a client too. But other than... the editor I hired early, about two-thirds of the way through, she just gave me, you know, content kind of advice. So
okay.
I learned a lot, believe me, kicking and screaming about editing and formatting, and then also putting it into the Kindle version, which is a whole different thing.
Right.
So that's not my forte, but I got through it. I hope it reads well. I think it does, but it's a whole different ball game.
Yes, it is.
And formatting and
having formatted a lot of books, you did good. I applaud you.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I was no fun to be around when I was doing that.
Yeah. Well, we never are when we're formatting and writing. I gotta tell you. Don't bother me. I'm busy.
That's right. I'm mad is what I am.
Yeah. That works.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I see that this was released in April of 2020, right? So do you have any tips for authors that are trying to release release their books during this COVID time? What kinds of things did you do for marketing do you want to share anything about the release period?
Well, that right after editing, marketing is probably my least... it's not a good skill. When I did release it, it was right around the anniversary of the end of the Mexican-American War. So I tried to tie it in with that. But that's a full-time job, marketing and trying to get in front of people, which, by the way, is one reason I really appreciate being on here. But it's not something I like to do, want to do. So I did as much as I could. You know, I do a Facebook page and boosting posts and things like that. But as far as advice, I'm probably not the person to give any. as far as marketing. It's something that I would love to have somebody else do for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But of course that's money. And you know what? The book is the book, and I put it out there, and whatever happens, happens, and on to the next one.
Well, you know, we have a phrase on this show. It's called shameless self-marketing. Shameless self-promotion. And if you're writing your book and you're publishing it on your own, shameless self-promotion is the only way you're going to get that book out there.
I do know that. I do know that, yes.
So, I mean, I really like the cover. The cover, whoever artist did it, and I know, but I've forgotten, did a wonderful job.
That's an interesting thing, too. My son turned me on to a website. It's like a clearinghouse for designers. Mm-hmm. And so you can put out a bid for a job, or you can ask designers to give you some formats. Mm-hmm. The woman who did this was in Czechoslovakia. It's a Czechoslovakian woman who just got what I wanted to do immediately. And you know, we collaborated, and I sent her pictures and ideas, and I'm just so happy with it, because you can't judge a book by a cover, but it sells by a cover a lot of times. And
absolutely,
I'm very happy with the cover on this. And
yes, it's a very nice cover, actually.
Which talks a good job about, you know, technology and the world being a small place. I mean, it was just amazing to me that I was communicating with somebody, whatever it is, 8,000 miles away, who understood what I wanted and made it happen.
Yeah,
it's like when you have a vision in your head that you don't quite have, and they make it real. And she did a great job.
There you go. Bobby, would you like to ask our guest the question?
I certainly will. This won't be a surprise for you, Wayne, since you've been with us before. Do you experience writer's block? And if you do, what do you do to get through it? And if you don't, well, that's okay. Talk to us about writer's block.
I definitely experience writer's block. And I alluded to it earlier, research can be great when you have writer's block. But when you're not writing a book about history, you really got to power through it. A friend of mine gave me a quote that his father told him, "You want to be a writer? Sit your ass down and write." And that phrase comes to me all the time because, in fact, at the moment I'm struggling and I don't feel like doing it. And the only way to get through it is to make myself sit down and do it. I have a routine that I have to write in the morning. I have to pretty much write first thing in the morning. And if I don't, it doesn't get done. It just doesn't. Uh-huh. As much as I say, well, I'll do it later, never happens. So I have to sit my ass down and write in the mornings. And sometimes it doesn't happen and it's frustrating, but eventually I do get back to it. So that's the way I deal with it.
Okay. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. Well, then you live out in the mountains and you live in a cabin, albeit a small cabin.
That's true. I had a bear on my deck this morning, and he broke into my backyard and knocked over an apple tree and ate the apples.
Oh, my gosh. There's a story in that.
Yeah, that's my life right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Fraser Park is known for bears. What are you going to do?
That's right. That's right. They're all over the place.
They are. So what's next on the horizon? What are you going to write next?
Well, I'm writing a story about an old man a young girl and a dog. And it's loosely based on a true subhuman is probably the best way I could describe it. Abandoned out in the Los Padres National Forest because he didn't want to deal with the dog anymore. And he went out and rescued this animal, actually with the help of a little girl, because the dog wouldn't come to anybody but the little girl. So I said, you know, I thought that there is a story there. And so I'm working on that. And I can't procrastinate with research, because there's not a lot of research to be done. So I have probably about 13 chapters done so far. So
wow, that's good. On it. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, we're going to take another real quick break. This is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block. And right now, you're going to hear a short word about Creative Edge.
Hi, Jim Christina from The Writer's Block here with some great big news. If you're an author or inspiring to be one, then you better check this out. Creative Edge, one of Canada's top boutique publicity firms for authors, is now expanding. They are dedicating themselves to promoting authors, indie and traditional, in all walks of life, all genres, and they're looking for all opportunities. Owned by Mickey Mickelson, Creative Edge has the passion, the contacts, and the knowledge to help authors and other artists build their brand and get their work noticed. You can contact Mickey at mickey.creativeedge@gmail.com to get started. Or you can go to www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge Publicity. It's your brand. It's your future.
And we are back in the studio. It's now 6:45. We are on the phone with Wayne Deal, and we'll be closing the show out here in just a minute. And Wayne, if you're looking for a publicist, get a hold of Mickey. Great guy.
That sounds really good. Yeah.
He's actually he's very reasonable, and he does a great job for you. He'll keep you busy, I can guarantee you. So give him a shout. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the time we have left, Wayne, which is about 4 minutes, why don't you tell us about what you're reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
What am I reading? Well, I'm in a book club with mostly family members, and we're reading a book called Black Swan Rising by Lisa Brackman, who is I guess she's been on the New York Times bestseller list, but she's a friend of my brother's. And it's a very interesting book. I got about four or five. I tried to read Crime and Punishment. I got that going on.
Oh, good luck with that.
Oh, wow.
You're a glutton.
That's not going all that well. What else have I got? I've been toying around with the idea of a sequel to Loyal Son. So I've been reading some history of the California Gold Rush, because the story ends up with them coming to where I live, right here near Fraser Park. And there were all the Mexican rancheros that were in dispute after the Americans took over. So
there's another
whole story there. So I've been doing some Gold Rush and California history, becoming a state, and whether or not it was going to become a slave state or a free state, and which is just another fascinating part of history to me. Mm-hmm. And those are a few of the things that I'm reading. I probably got three or four more, but I can't remember them.
Well, I mean, one of them could be Jefferson's Chant sitting on your nightstand.
Well, you know what? It should be. Okay.
I agree. I think it should be.
How many books have you written now? I don't even want to.
I don't know. 15, 16, something like that, I think.
Yeah. You make me sick, Jim.
I don't mean to. Oh, you know, Bobby, I have to tell you a story about Wayne, because every time Wayne is on the show, which is twice now, the first time I called him to remind him that he was on the show, he and his brother were traipsing around Ireland.
Right.
This time we called him to remind him he was on the show, or Jerry did. Jerry sent him an email. He was traipsing around the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
He's never home.
I like traipsing.
You do. You do love the traipse. So you're a traipser. From way back. Well, in the time we have left, Wayne, which is about a minute, why don't you give our listeners where they can find you, where they can find your book. Of course, we already know they can find it on Out West. But where on the internet they can get it, and with bookstores. And if you did it through Amazon, I assume it's going to be available at all the online booksellers.
Yes, and on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, and, on Amazon.
And an email address
is WANGO 750@yahoo. And I've got a Facebook page, an author page. I got an author page on Goodreads, author page on Amazon. And Readsy, I don't know if you heard of that. It's an online book and writer outlet. So I can be found. I can't hide.
Yep. I actually personally know where to find you. So, especially on Sundays.
Yeah, and plus, I might make a trip to Idaho for that lemon meringue pie I was promised.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, we're waiting on you. We can pick one up and nothing flat. Okay.
With no problem.
There you go. Okay, Wayne. Well, thanks for spending your evening with us. And go about the rest of your evening and have fun and, you know, do it as you're going to do and say hi to that girlfriend for us.
I will. And say hi to Jerry.
I will. All right. I will. And thanks again for joining us, Wayne. And the book, of course, is called Loyal Son, available on Amazon and all the online booksellers. Pick up a copy. You will not be disappointed. And thank you again, Wayne, for agreeing to be with us tonight.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And next week, we have another return writer, Hank Ryan Phillippe, who is back with us for her second visit. Mm-hmm. She is a Mickey Mickelson writer. And it should be interesting because Russ is with us next week. And, the third Thursday, that's what we do. And Bobby Jean, it's the third Thursday next week. I can see the look on your face.
No, how can it be Thursday.
Last week was the... Oh, you know what?
Yeah, because Halloween was Saturday. This is the first Thursday because Henry was with us.
Yes. Yeah, Frank, you're with us next week. Thanks, Phillippe Ryan.
Good, because I really enjoy her writing, and I know the bookie sent me the book, so...
Okay, well, you got it then. Okay, anyway, I can't help it. I'm stupid. Anyway, thanks all for joining us. We're glad to have you with us every week on the Writer's Block. And for Bobby Jean, myself, Russ Avison, Ronan Rosner, and of course, Mr. Sam Hassan, and LA Talk Radio, we are out of here.